Jesus always, always, always responds to faith. God responds to genuine faith. In fact, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We have a beautiful example on this Mother's Day morn of a mother, a woman, who diligently sought Christ and experienced a miracle, not only for her, but for her daughter. We meet a woman whose faith delighted the Lord Jesus so much that Jesus, when He saw her, observed her faith, He said, "Oh woman, great is your faith." Great faith. Now, the Bible talks about different kinds of faith. The Bible talks about saving faith, that we are saved by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about obedient faith. The Bible talks about strong faith and bold faith and sincere faith. And over and over, the Bible is a faith book. If you want to build your faith, get into the Word of God, saturate your heart, your mind with God's Word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So we're taking God's Word, and in particular, episodes, experiences in the life of Christ and how He built faith into people of all kinds, both believers and unbelievers. The mother, the woman that you're about to meet in the New Testament here is unnamed and unknown. She was an outsider, an outlier, in that she was not a part of the Jewish nation, the household of faith. In fact, she was a Gentile unbeliever, and in one sense was considered an outcast. But because of her faith, she experienced this miracle and the deliverance of her daughter from powerful demon forces. Let's look at it in chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon." This apparently was to be a time of retreat and relaxation for Christ. With the crowds and the pressure of Galilee, Jesus and His disciples walked over 40 miles outside the nation of Israel. This is the only time Jesus ever left the countryside of Israel, His homeland. The one and only time when Jesus went outside of Israel. And yet, what a reminder that is, that we all have a responsibility to bring the message of Jesus to the world. So Jesus stepped outside His normal traffic pattern and He went to the world. And verse 22 says, "And behold," you know what that means? Hey, watch this. Look at this. So I want you to imagine this scene in your eyes and in your heart. "A Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying," meaning she was shouting and crying over and over again these words, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is so severely oppressed by a demon." But He did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." These disciples, they still just don't get it. I mean, when the little children crawled up into Jesus' lap, they were shooing the children away. "Get away, don't bother us. Don't bother. Get away from me, kid. You bother me." You know, that kind of attitude. And then this woman, this poor Gentile woman who's crying out to Jesus, needing help desperately for a child. These guys are annoyed. They're just, you know, ticked off that they're trying to get some rest. And here comes this woman. She won't stop shouting, "Send her away." But Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before Him, saying, "Lord, help me." Just a simple cry, a desperate plea that anyone can pray to Jesus today. "Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, deliver my daughter." Verse 26, He answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Oh, woman, great," say it, "great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What an episode in the life of Jesus. Unlike any other experience we see in all of the New Testament. A woman who is described as having great faith, literally mega faith. The Greek word for great in the New Testament is mega. She had a mega what? Faith. Great is your faith. What made this woman's faith great? Why did Jesus delight in her faith? Why was he so pleased at the way this woman came to him? One, she exhibits a desperate faith, and so should we. A desperate faith. For verse 22, she is exclaiming, "Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy on me." Her faith was dependent and desperate. Obviously humble. It is raw. It is real. And it is repentant in that she's crying out for mercy. I mentioned earlier that this woman was an outsider, an outlier, a Gentile person. A Canaanite woman. The Canaanites were vile and wicked people. We have been to Israel many times, and when we go, we always go to a place where Canaanites once occupied inside of Israel, and there you can still see on the ground altars to Moloch and other false deities where babies, their own children, were offered as blood sacrifices to their false gods. They were so vile and wicked and disgusting, these people, that God said to his people, Israel, exterminate them. God judged these people severely. Canaanites. This woman was a Canaanite cast off. She was shamed by her own sin. No doubt she was a pagan and an idol worshiper. Probably because they worship such evil gods, an immoral woman. But somehow she had heard about Jesus. Someone told her about Jesus, the promised Messiah, for she calls him the Son of David, which is a messianic title. The promised one, the Son of David. Somehow she knew and exhibits at the outset not mega faith, but some faith. You know, it's not so much great faith that we need, but faith in a great God that we need. But she had faith, and she was taking steps of faith to Jesus. And she shamelessly came to Jesus because she was desperate. Her daughter was severely demonized, demon-possessed. One reason this woman was so desperate was she was disturbed when she realized, she must have realized that she was in great part responsible for her daughter's demonized condition. After all, she is the one who introduced the idols and the pagan worship into her Canaanite house. There's no mention of a man in this passage. Did she have a husband? Had her husband left her? We know she had this daughter, and we know she must have been an immoral woman in many ways because, as I noted earlier, the idolatry of the Canaanites was absolutely filthy. It was false worship, and she had invited evil into her life and therefore into the life of her child. Sometimes parents don't understand the importance, the impact of the choices they make on their children. Little eyes are watching you. Always little ears listening to you. And your example speaks much louder than your words. Adults, for example, who drink alcohol in front of their kids, which is an entry drug to drugs of all kinds. Adults who drink alcohol in front of their kids wonder why their kids may grow up to have a problem with alcohol. When parents are fighting and arguing and shouting obscenities and blasphemies in a home, don't be surprised if those same blasphemies and obscenities show up in the mouths of your children. If you watch questionable, objectionable programming on your television, on your computer, on your handheld device, however, I'm telling you, you are inviting the hordes of hell into your home. Your influence as a mom and as a dad is critical. And what's true on the negative side, of course, is true on the positive side. Because when you are a woman of faith, when you live a God-fearing life, when you are a mom who loves Jesus and lives for Jesus and teaches and trains your children God's word, when you pray for your children, when you bring your children to church, not just send them, but bring your children with you when you come to worship, and then you go home and you're not a critic, you're a worshiper. You have experienced the presence of God in the Word of God, in the worship of Jesus Christ, and your children are listening and they see how important it is that you are a believer. It's so helpful because remember, it's your influence that counts the most for Christ. And if you have a mother, or you had a mother who was godly and dedicated, maybe you thought she was too restrictive, but she loved you enough to tell you no, to discipline you when you were wrong, to pray for you when you were a prodigal. If you had a mom like that, you need to get down on your knees and thank God every day for the godly influence in your life. Keep in mind, it is easier to build a child than to repair an adult. It's easier to build a child than to repair an adult. Build your children to believe. Moms, it is impossible to measure your influence when you are a woman of faith. Praying for your children, protecting your children. If it's the husband, the dad's primary role to provide for your children, it is the mom's primary role, in my view and in the scripture, to protect your children. It's okay that you're a mama bear sometimes, to protect your children, to go up against the world for your children. Some of you ought to say, "How dare you, Satan, come against my child? We're going to keep fighting for our children. We're not going to allow the devil to have this generation and generations to come. We're going to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to pray and protect our children in the power of Christ." This woman was desperate for mercy because she had failed as a mother, and now she had no control of her daughter. She's repentant. Have mercy on me. We're talking about faith and how to have faith. Some of you are having trouble believing. Did you know in the Bible, faith and repentance are inseparably linked, vitally connected and eternally connected? Faith and repentance, really two sides of the same coin. You can't repent without believing, and you can't believe without repenting. And if you're having trouble believing, start with repenting. Because so often our so-called problems with believing are simply smoke screens, excuses for sin in our own lives. So we start with repentance. And when we repent, truly repent, turn from our sin and trust in Christ, then we also believe. So she came with determined and desperate faith. Secondly, she came with determined faith. Verse 25 says she just kept coming at Jesus, even when there were many obstacles in front of her. I've already said that she had the obstacle in that she was an outsider. She was a Gentile. She didn't have the privilege of growing up in a godly home. That's a huge obstacle. She had this Satan problem in her life, in her home. So she had Satan against her. She had a problem with her daughter. If you have a child, you know, have you heard it said, you're only as happy as your most unhappy child? I mean, and now she is unhappy because her daughter is severely beaten and broken by this demon spirit that is living in her. And not only that, but these disciples, these dudes who just wanted to get rid of her. She was just an object. She was just an obstacle. They had this mentality that she wasn't good enough. And it appears at the outset that she even had the problem of God, that Jesus was resisting her. Because when she came crying to Jesus, what did the Bible say that Jesus did? It says, verse 23, he didn't answer her a word. He gave her the silent treatment. Sounds cruel, doesn't it? I mean, this doesn't sound like the Jesus we know. Why is Jesus resisting this woman? Why is he giving her nothing but cold stone silence? I'll tell you why. He's drawing out her faith. God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He knew exactly what he was going to do already. He knew there was faith in there, and he is bringing her out to teach his disciples and all of us a lesson about this daring, determined faith that will never give up. Tenacious, relentless faith that keeps crying out to God no matter what. Have you ever prayed and wondered why you got nothing but silence? Sure you have. If you've prayed, you wonder, does Jesus care? Why is he not doing anything? Why is he not saying anything? Why am I getting nothing? And you've heard many times, no doubt, that when we pray, God always answers prayer. Sometimes he says no, and he does. And sometimes God says yes, and then sometimes God says wait a while. Put it like this, God says at times no, because the request is wrong. You ought to thank God for unanswered prayer. Because you look back now and you realize had God answered that prayer, it wouldn't have been the best thing, the right thing. God knows. So sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says slow. Slow down. Because he's building our patience and he's building our character. And in his own way and in his own time, he'll bring about the answer. Maybe God's building faith in our lives. Wants us to keep praying. Keep crying out to God, seeking God. And other times God says, go. It's green light. And the answer comes and you're on your way. Other times, as in this case, Jesus says, whoa. That's what he said. Whoa, what incredible faith this woman has. He said, I've not had seen such faith in all of Israel. You see, the Israelites, some of us who have grown up in our faith, maybe we've heard it again and again and again and again, and you've heard a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching, and you've had a lot of privileges, and you've heard it so many times, you're sort of dull to it. But when Jesus saw the faith of this outlying woman, this outcast, this outsider, when he saw this woman who had so little opportunity come and believe, he was just taken. And I'm certain that a big smile crossed his bronze face as he is celebrating the great faith of this woman. And as a result of this determined faith, in the face of even seeming indifference. Jesus answered her prayer. The Bible says, pray. Jesus said this, pray always and do not give up. Do not quit. If you're praying for your husband to come to Christ, don't give up. Keep praying. So we need to make sure when we pray desperately. That's what Jesus is always doing. He's drawing out our faith. And in this case, he said, he even called this woman a dog. What is that all about? He said, it's wrong to take food from the master's table and give it to dogs. Now, Jesus did not use the word for dogs that referenced the scavenger dogs that ran in packs in the streets of the ancient world. These were mangy, foaming at the mouth creatures. You didn't want to have any part of those kind of dogs. Jesus used another word for dog. It was diminutive form, which meant little puppy. Puppy dogs that you have in your house. And you have to read the tone in Scripture as well as the truth in Scripture. And there's no question here, the tone of Jesus was gracious. He was saying, you know, you can't take first what is given to the master's table, being the world of Israel, and give it to the little puppies around the table. We've got little puppies that come around our table at our house, and they always get something. I always get in trouble because I'm giving the dog stuff from the table. But that's the illustration. And you know what the woman, she could have walked off and said, you call me a dog? Is that what you said? You calling me a dog? I've heard that before. I've been called worse names. No, that woman showed true faith. She just owned it. She said, okay, I'm a dog. But I need you, Jesus. You're the only one who can help me. My daughter needs you. Incredible, isn't it? Jesus loved her because of her great faith. And therefore, it was a delivering faith. It was said that the child was instantly healed. What are we to learn from this great story? Jesus responds to faith. When you trust in Him and trust in His promises, believing in Him, He will save, He will deliver, He will forgive. We learn that there's no person too far away from God for Him to save. And that includes you and me. No person too far away, too far gone. No child too demonized that cannot yet be reached. You may not be demonized, but some of you are facing bondage in your life. And Jesus and Jesus only can break the chains of darkness in your life. That's faith. It's the faith that saves. For by grace are you saved, Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Say, well, you know, I'm just not worthy. I'm just, you know, I don't know if Jesus would ever accept me. Look, you've never been worthy. You never will be worthy. It's the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. On your best day ever, you're not worthy. It's the mercy of God that makes for the faith that we believe and receive from God. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us. And that mercy, that love was demonstrated on the cross when Jesus died. He didn't just go outside His country to reach this lost woman. He went to a cross and laid down His life for the sins of the world, yours and mine. and rose again on the third day. And the same miracle working power of Jesus Christ that delivered that daughter from the devil and the devil's powers, that same Jesus who saved that woman who came to him in faith will save you and your family today if you will believe. From the origin of life to capital punishment, same-sex relationships, and much, much more, culture's views often differ drastically from what the Bible says about truth. And it's critical that Christians be able to engage our culture appropriately over such divisive cultural issues like abortion, even alcohol, and to do it with wisdom, love, and grace. I want to help you do that by sending you my book, Culture Wise. Tackling seven hotly debated topics, Culture Wise will equip you to think and speak biblically about the issues that we're facing today. My prayer is that as you grow confident in God's truth, that you'll grow in your compassion towards people who desperately need to know Jesus and to hear God's word. So, please give a donation today to keep PowerPoint broadcasting the good news of Jesus on this station and around the world. And visit us online at jagraham.org or call to order your copy of CultureWise. And thank you for helping reach more people around the world with the message of Jesus. To all the moms and the grandmoms out there, happy Mother's Day. You know, it is impossible to measure the influence of a godly woman, a mom, a woman who is dedicated to Jesus Christ, one who prays for your children and your friends, one who protects your children. That's the most important task in the world, really. And it's so essential that we give and live a godly legacy before our children. And this lady that we met in the message today is an example of a desperate and determined woman who made sure that she got her child to Jesus. I think of Catherine Booth, the wife of the founder of the Salvation Army, who once said, "I will not stand before you, O God, without my children." And I know that if you have children that know and love the Lord, you're certainly blessed, but maybe some of you, your children aren't walking with God or don't know the Lord. And we want you to know that we're praying for you, and I want to encourage you in today's message. If you've had a child walk away from faith, or maybe you're struggling in your own life to live the Christian life, we want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And please let us know what your prayer requests are, how we can pray for you, how we can encourage you and your family. So thanks again for joining us here on PowerPoint, and God bless you.